Welcome to Standing in the Sunlight with Cynthia Rose. We are all on an ever-unfolding unique journey. Join Cynthia Rose as she begins her unique perspective to all that is meaningful. Topics and personalities that support your path, bringing inspiration and passion and heart-centered ways to live a more fulfilling life. A down-to-earth and uplifting sharing of what it means to be spiritual, creative, and living life to the fullest by standing in the sunlight. Born an intuitive medium, Cynthia Rose is also an ordained minister, singer, astrologer, educator, and writer. She has studied the intuitive and healing arts for over 40 years. Rise up and stand in your sunlight now with Cynthia Rose.
Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm Cynthia Rose, your host. I'm so happy to be here with you this week. I am back from my island of Kauai. That was such a beautiful time there, and very excited for the guests that we have on today. For those of you that wish to join Standing in the Sunlight Facebook page or anything, Brendan can let you in. You can find me on Facebook at Cynthia Rose Medium, also on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And I know you're really going to enjoy our guest today. I have Belinda Womack, a spiritual counselor who's been channeling angelic wisdom to support individuals, couples, and families for 25 years. She's the creator of 12 Archangels University, an online change your everyday reality to heaven on earth education platform, a scientist by training with dual master's degree in microbiology and environmental science. She lives in Freeport, Maine, and we're going to have her talk today about her book, Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. Welcome, Belinda.
Thanks for having me on your show today, Cynthia.
Yeah, I'm really grateful to have you here and have us share your wisdom. Tell us about your book. So do you want to start with, just there's some listeners that may not know of you, just start a little bit about anything if you like sharing about what brought you into this, or which is, sounds like it's a very long time ago, or what do you love about working with the angels? Just something about yourself first.
So I love angels, and I am very grateful for the blessing that they are in my life, but very much for the blessing that I feel that they are in every human being's life, and every bit of stardust in the universe. They exist to help us find our way, and they certainly have helped me to do that. So I have been working with this team that they call themselves the 12 Archangel Kingdoms of the Central Soul or Central Sun, the same as your sunlight that you refer to. For well over 25 years, I was a biologist, and I first was, I call it my drafting. I came from Archangel Gabriel while I was working on a stem cell experiment. And again, that was a very long time ago. And I resisted that call to service, as sometimes we may want to do. I understand that you were born into your mediumship. Well, I had the opportunity to resist a little bit by trying to be a biologist first before the angels came and got me. But I just have to say that the 12 archangels love everyone. Their number is a cycle that represents evolution. So they're helping humanity, schoolroom earth as they call it, and all of divine oneness to evolve. And what does that mean? It means to bring love and compassion where love has been missing for far too long. And it's a journey, as of course you know well, Cynthia Rose.
Yeah, yes. That's beautiful. I definitely agree. There is Oh, we can always use more love and compassion. That's, I really loved, just if I might say, there was, just trying to remember where it was in the book where you talked about anger and letting go of anger and the invoking in the message that you brought that in. I'm trying to remember where that was. But it had to do with identifying your anger and releasing it and bringing in that love and compassion. Am I correct?
Sure. Well, one of the, there's a few exercises in Lessons from the 12 Archangels that help facilitate that. The angels love to give us guided imagery, which they say it doesn't matter if we can see things. As long as we feel it, it all works to help us to let go of what doesn't work for us. And they say that anger is incredible power, but it's power that's pretty much kind of stuck down there at a lower vibration. So if we'll first acknowledge that we're angry, which can also happen just when we feel frustrated or we just feel overheated and we don't know why. And so one of their imageries, and I'm not sure which one was your favorite, but one of my favorites is where they say, just ask for the red dragons of rage that are inside of you, just set them free. And you just set them free and return them to the central sun. And then you call back your power. And it can be incredibly therapeutic and kind of really fun, because those dragons, when they rise up and they return back to that heart of the Creator, they lift up our self-esteem and they really kind of help reawaken that knowing that, hey, we do have power. You know, often anger can come from feeling repressed, feeling stomped on, feeling taken for granted, being neglected. Lots of things can cause a human being to feel frustrated. But if we can understand, we're really created out of love. So if that love that we're made out of, that energy, if it's become anger or fear or guilt or shame or resentment, we can transform it. And then that's power, just like putting gasoline in our gas tank, so that we can move forward instead of feeling so stuck.
Yes, I found it, and it was actually, I quoted incorrectly, it was understanding violence and releasing trauma.
Okay.
And that, anyways, that I think nowadays, more and more, we seem to have extremes. People seem to be on a path of searching more and more to have a spiritual life, and yet we have so much more violence in our world, and with the mass shootings. And so we have a lot of people out there that have been victims of violence and trauma and trying to overcome that. And that's one of the hardest things for me, is to understand when that happens. I guess I know there's a bigger picture we don't all see, but sometimes there's no words for these.
Well, it can be really challenging from our, you know, from our humanity, from that perspective, to even want to comprehend that there is a bigger picture. But what the 12 archangels teach us is that even in mass shootings, there are agreements that have been made, and that it is about a global or a collective, human collective release of pent-up rage that can come from the repressed lower vibrational masculine. The masculine energy wants to do. He wants to have, he wants to have recognition in his life. He wants to feel powerful. And when he feels that he has no power, that repression can blow up and come out as violence and rage. What we can do as human beings to help clear violence and the potential for it to keep perpetuating in our world is to practice forgiveness. And so the angels teach us that there's a crown chakra, a battery of spiritual energy on top of our heads in the color purple. And that forgiveness is a quality of love that is incredibly healing. And as we forgive even that which is unforgivable, both within ourselves, within our own past, within our own families, even to forgive what we don't remember, because we are all connected, we are all part of oneness, we help to clear that future potential for violence by bringing that forgiveness within to our own beings. Because where there is forgiveness, there is healing and there is love. So that's what we can do. That power that comes in the color purple, it is incredibly transformative. That's why it's called the violet fire of transformation and forgiveness. So we are here on this school, Schoolroom Earth, to all of us, to bring love, forgiveness, gratitude, where it has been missing for far too long. So just to bring in forgiveness for what really infuriates our own personal being does help to end violence for all concerned. It's what we can do so that we don't feel so powerless. I hope that I have made sense with that explanation. If I haven't, I trust you'll let me know.
I think that's a really important point. The power of forgiveness is, I think it's stated, but it can almost seem like, I don't know. When I was younger, I have to say my mother was trying to teach me as a little girl about the power of forgiveness. And I think I was fairly stubborn about it. And, I was fairly hard on myself. And it's so simple. And yet I went searching for other things. And your wise words are important at this time. I think what you're saying there is so important. For me personally, my human, I oscillate between, my spirit self knows that all is well. Yeah, the human part of me sometimes feel like, wow, I can't imagine going through that. And yet the other part of me understands that there's a collective and a plan that my human may not understand. That oneness is so, it's so important at this time that it's recognized.
Well, and Cynthia, as you have said in your own way, oneness can be hard for us to comprehend. The angels, and not just the angels, these angels, they work with the ascended masters and all of the loved ones in heaven, our ancestors, those have crossed over, wherever the guides are out there in the universe. They teach us, hey, on Schoolroom Earth, you get to have an ego. And the ego believes that it's separate from oneness. It believes it's separate from your own soul, your own heart. So for that ego to really comprehend, you mean that every thought I think and every feeling I feel has an impact on every other person, plant, and protozoa in the creek? Really? And so what the angels say is, there's, yes, you've got your ego, but you have a bigger part of your brain. The ego is about the size of a green garden pea in a watermelon, if you can think of your brain as a watermelon. And the rest of it understands oneness quite well. So they say to help that ego, that personality, that individual expression of the Creator, of God, to understand what oneness is, it's to just say, okay, well, what is it I feel? And what is it I need? Those two simple questions can ground us in soul and heart. And then we can be at least one with our own heart and soul. And that's where we have to begin before we can really comprehend this wonderful thing called oneness. That divine oneness also says, hey, you live within the Creator. You live within God. And God lives within you. So this whole thing that you could be abandoned, well, that's not true either. But we do tend to, you know, go about our busy lives by being walking heads, as the angels love to call us. And it can help just to take a deep breath. These are simple things that, of course, I'm sure your listeners know well, but it's just a good reminder. Hey, take a deep breath. What do I feel? What do I need? Just come home. Come home to heart. And then we start to, at least in a feeling, knowing, clairsentient way, reconnect with divine source. And fathom a little bit of the greatness that begins within us.
Yeah, that's beautiful. Wow, where did that time go? It seems like we just got started. We're going to be back in a break, just have a quick break. Grab yourself a glass of water, stretch your legs, and we'll be back with Belinda Womack.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. Om Times Radio. IOM FM.
Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Connect at omtimes.com. Om Times, creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Hi, this is recording artist and composer Yuval Ron, inviting you to a voyage through the chakras, a new double album of guided meditations to transform your life. A sublime musical medicine for nourishing inner peace and reaching to your higher virtues. Get it now at metamindfulnessmusic.com. M-E-T-T-A, mindfulnessmusic.com.
Some knowledge belongs to us and us alone. The way our girlfriends walk, talk, touch their hair. Details that only a sister can know about her girls. But what about our other girls? The ones we carry with us every day. Our bond with our sister girls gives life. But knowing your breasts can save it. Go to knowyourgirls.org for the facts you need on breast health. Brought to you by Susie G. Komen and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back. I've just been sitting and contemplating what else we could ask Belinda during this time. And maybe I'll share something personal and that can lead into what others might think. So I don't actually, Belinda, I don't actually know about names of all of the archangels. I've obviously heard of some of them, but I do more evidential mediumship and guidance comes in. But one time I was doing a reading for someone, and I felt the presence of an angel on the left and an angel on the right, almost like they were standing guard for her. And because I didn't want to go into my mind to start describing them, it was more about the message. I was a little apprehensive, of course, of the message, but they were telling me they were standing guard for her to stay here on the earth, which, of course, I wasn't sure what that was about. As it turned out, unbeknownst to her at that time, she had an infection in her pacemaker, and would be going to the hospital like 2 hours after I saw her. And so she called me 5 days later to say that message was so important for her and really helpful. So I was glad I had shared it. But what I felt was a green energy and a blue energy. And rather than go into describing what they were, I felt the urge to go more about the message. And they were pushing me to share this with her, which, as it turned out, she said there was a moment for her that was really important. Am I done or am I staying? And it's not the kind of thing I would ever give in a reading to say anything like that, but it was like it was overwhelmingly pushing me to say this to her. And so it made me wonder sometimes how do, you know, people describe a lot about what their angels look like. Some of them are quite detailed in what they look like. Some, for me, it was a feeling and an essence. And I don't know if you have any wisdom you could share for people in that when they connect.
So, Cynthia, angels are, well, first of all, they are messengers, as you've already experienced. And they are made of the same energy we're made out of. They're made of love. But they stay at the vibration of what they call heaven. And that means that where there is no fear. Fear does not exist. It's a pure, loving vibration. So because they are at that incredible, pure frequency of love, we don't normally see them walking up and down the street or ringing our doorbell or sitting next to us, because our eyes, our rods and cones are geared to seeing what's at this frequency or this vibration of the earth where there is fear. So in my experience, those that can see their angels the easiest are children, because they haven't been told that they've made that up. So when I get the opportunity to ask a child to close his or her eyes and we walk through the purple door, which just means into the creative, spiritual part of the brain, and I say, okay, invite your guardian angels to come, they can see them and they can describe their colors, and often they have wings, which is just represents their energy that can wrap around us and help hold us. And so, you know, again, children have an easier way of connecting. So in my work, what I love to do is help adults to connect with their inner child, with that divine child that lives within, so that they can also see, experience, feel their own angel team, whether that's guardian angels, fairy angels, nature angels, deva angels, archangels. They really all work together. And they do work to guide us and to protect us. So I've been asked the question, well, how do you know the difference between an angel and say a loved one, or maybe it's Master Jesus or Mother Mary that's coming to visit, or Buddha. How do you know the difference? And the difference can definitely be quite subtle. It's that angels are musical in their essence, and they have this amazing ability to lift us up and to help us feel comforted and to help us feel safe. So the way that I see the 12 archangels is in lots of different ways. Sometimes it's just their energy and their different colors. Sometimes, you know, if I'm getting a dental cleaning, they will show up while I'm looking at the ceiling, and they'll play banjos, they'll put on hula skirts. They will do whatever they can to try to distract me, because I'm sensitive all over, especially my teeth. As far as the names of angels go, they say that we human beings, you know, we can get kind of attached to names. They say their names are musical. Sometimes we may hear them in a bit of a different way. And they say, please just don't get bogged down about that kind of thing. So, for example, with the 12 archangels, their number is actually symbolic. There are far more than 12. And but they all work together. They work together as this team. And so I may know an angel, for example, I may say Archangel Michael, but in another culture or in another philosophy, Michael might be called something different. And sometimes there's crossover, right? Some people will call Michael Metatron and Metatron Michael. And from their perspective, they couldn't give, excuse me, this is exactly the way they say it, that they can't give a rat's poop about that. They say, you know, we don't use business cards, we use love. And so you're not going to do it wrong if you think, oh, you're trying to call on the angel that's going to, you know, help you with your finances versus the angel that's going to help you with your headache. We all help, they say. We help with everything. So don't get caught up in, if you can, where that ego likes to separate things and be organized and put everything in a box, like this is a dog and this is a cat and this is an automobile and this is a person and this is a deceased loved one and this is an angel. They say, just let us love you. And so they say that one of the ways to call on them, to call on their assistance, is to say, thank you, angels. Thank you. I need a divine rescue here. Or thank you for helping me with fill in the blank. You see, when we start off our prayers with gratitude, it immediately shifts us up a notch in our own vibration, which just makes it easier for us to connect and to receive from source, which they say can be our challenge. Is receiving. Well, very often we can be good givers and doers, but receiving can be a challenge. So when we ask our angels to help us to receive that which we need, we go back to ask what you need and what are you feeling, that's where they really love to help us, is to receive in what we need.
Well, that's good. Beautiful. What was the other thing that comes to me? So then one of the things, I think you've already answered what was going to bring up, is that sometimes people ask, how do you know the difference between angels and guides? And it sounds like you're saying don't get bogged down in the details.
Well, that's what they recommend. Because you are a medium, then you have experience. You know, it just takes experience in feeling the subtleties of of the vibration of the soul or the being that you're connecting with. Again, angels are quite musical. They help us to feel. They're very much about feeling. Ascended masters can also help us with feeling, but they often come in and help us to figure out the solution to a problem. So they can have a bit more of a thought or mental, little bit more of that kind of vibration. It can sometimes be easier to have language come through an ascended master. Okay, you here's the problem, here's the solution. Where angels, you know, they help us to get in touch with the feelings so that we can voice to Mother, Father, God what we need. And then we have a loved one, and I do realize who I'm talking to, but the loved ones, and please butt in and correct me if I don't have this right, this is just my experience, that when they come through, you know, that you can feel often that bit of their presence, their personality. It feels a bit more earthly sometimes. And sometimes there's a mix of all that I've just said. So we can always ask is really the simplest way. You can connect with the child that lives within your heart and you can say, who is this that I'm feeling? Who is this that is trying to help me right now? Is this a guide? Is it a teacher? Is it a loved one? Is it an angel? And they just ask that we understand that we may get more than one yes, right? Could be an ascended master that's also of an angelic frequency, or a loved one that is also acting in the role of as a teacher or problem solver for us. Bottom line is things aren't as cut and dry as sometimes we would like them to be. You know, it's just we can't always check all the boxes. But the more we do, just listen, right? We listen, we feel. That's when that intuition will say, well, you've just been talking and hanging out with your guardian angel, for example. I hope I made some sense there.
Yeah, I think that's well said. I know that when I mentioned to you about my mother seeing an angel, and she described it as a beautiful white mass. And I think if I remember correctly, she saw wings and she... it was an overwhelming feeling of love that came to her. And my experience is that when I first started connecting with angels, it was an adjustment in learning how to speak because I just wanted to sit and take it in. So, you know, it's the most beautiful and uplifting feeling. But I did have an experience a number of years ago now where I was... had gone a long time trying to heal from something and I wasn't healing. And I finally was going through the final healing, like physical healing. And I had been talking to my angels every day and thanking them, as you just, you know, you had said, thank them. Thank you for being here. And I went through about a 5 or 6 day period where it was so powerful and so strong that... I thought, oh, this is really different. And I think you're trying to say this healing is here to stay, because I had gone, you know, 20 years trying to heal from something and I'd make 3 steps forward. And then, so it was a process there, and this is something. So, it's quite funny, but I have a friend who owns a singing telegram business, and I still sing for her on Valentine's Day, but she would call me from time to time, and she's very spiritual in nature for the way she does these. So she asked me, I think she had to take someone to a hospital or she had an emergency, could you go do this telegram? It was supposed to be her doing it, and they're expecting me. I didn't really know what that all meant because I didn't know these were people that knew her well. But so, and she said, you know, she needed someone to video it. It was a really big deal. So away we went to a house. I went and I sang and was invited inside. I didn't have to sing at the door. I went and I sang this telegram and the lady looked at me and asked, of course, where she was. And I expressed that she had an emergency. And she said, the telegram was beautiful, but, you know, I haven't done this in a while, but I think I have to give you a message. Can I do that? Sure, I said. And she showed me her whole house, almost like she was taking time, taking it in. And she said, there is a very powerful angelic presence here. And all I'm supposed to do is reaffirm to you that it's here with you and it's medical related. And I was just so touched, so joyous to get that because it was so strong for that week. And I don't think I had done a telegram in weeks, and it was just out of the blue, emergency, can you go do this? And so it just left me with such a, it was like a confirmation, which for someone like me, that was good because even though I grew up in this, I was always raised to use that left side of my brain to be both, to not just be one. So that confirmation was beautiful, but do you know, just the funniest thing, the way it just happened and that confirmation. And after that, I just said, thank you every day. Thank you. And even my doctor had said, well, what have you been doing? Well, I didn't say I've been talking to my angels, but it was a big thing. So, oh, and looks like we're having our last break here. We're queued up. So we'll just be a couple of minutes. We'll be back with the last part with Belinda Womack and her 12 Archangels book.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose, to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free, ascendinghearts.com.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Hi, this is New Age Grammy winner Paul Avgerinos. Thanks for listening to Om Times Radio, and please support my peaceful healing music with a purchase at iTunes, Amazon, or wherever you shop for fine music. Just put my name into the search engine, Paul Avgerinos, A, V like Victor, G like George, E-R-I-N-O-S. You can also visit me at roundskymusic.com. Thanks for listening, and I'm wishing you the brightest of blessings.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
Okay, we're back, and I just want to let listeners know that we will certainly share the last few minutes all the contact information for Belinda. This is a really wonderful book. I just want to say it's filled with so many beautiful messages, tools for you to move forward in your life. So I highly recommend it. It's just beautiful. What should we share now? I just feel there's something perhaps you might want to share, channel something that you think is important at this moment, at this time.
Well, Cynthia, first of all, the angels would like to comment on the personal story that you shared where you were, connecting with a big angel and then experienced 5 days of healing. That they say that the angelic energy that you connected with was, I call him Big Blue, but Archangel Michael is a very big presence that brings in incredible healing and truth. And that for anyone who may be listening, that if you want to ask for angelic help with healing, especially your physical body, which is the densest of our bodies, they say just this, they are upfront, this is Belinda's name for us, but I call them the angel love doctors. And all you need to do is just lie down and say, thank you, angel love doctors, for coming to my aid. And then you just tell them what you are feeling, what you're experiencing. They say they already know, but it helps you to communicate with them. And then likely you'll fall asleep for 20 minutes to a half an hour while they give you a treatment. And you can have their treatments as often as necessary. They only work through your higher self. The higher self is the part of your soul that stays in heaven, at that vibration of heaven. And of course, guides and connects with the soul that is within the human body. So they really help to just focus that energy of pure love into whatever's going on in the physical body. They say that just like you shared, Cynthia, there can be illnesses that we human beings can have that are part of our spiritual journey, our emotional journey, and can take 2 decades to heal and to overcome. And so if we can try to, instead of look at illness or discomfort as something negative, what helps so much is if we thank the physical body and we say, you know, thank you for sharing with me what I need to learn. What do I need to let go of perhaps in my subconscious or emotionally so that you can receive this healing energy? From the angel's perspective, the physical body is a messenger for the emotions. And so when we've had emotions get stuck in our body, we can inherit stuck emotions all the way back from our ancestors. And when this happens, it can go all the way to the point of creating a cancer in the body, as an example. But when we'll tune in to what that physical body, what our beautiful body is trying to communicate, and just say, I'm all ears. You know, whether it's a backache that's telling us we really need more support, or a headache that's telling us you just got to stop thinking so much and calm down. But when we open up to listen, then the physical body can communicate to the mental body. And then we can just know, oh, this is what is blocked within me. This is the emotion. Maybe it's anger that needs to be released, or fear or sorrow. It's incredible what grief and sorrow will create when it's not released in the physical.
Yes.
So their message is, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure you experienced that with your clients as well. So it's sometimes it gets stuck all the way down because we just weren't in that safe space to release it, those emotions. And then it will show up in the physical body as pain or illness or something going on. And so that's when we have the opportunity again to just say, okay, what is it, body, that I need to hear? What is it that I'm feeling? What is the feeling that I need to release and give back to spirit? What is it that I need? Because oftentimes that physical body will also, it tries to protect us, right? If we've got unmet needs and we're not feeling like it's safe to know what those needs are, then the physical body can absorb that knowing. So when we give it permission to be our friend and to help us, we can learn a lot. And in that way, our physical body, that humanness, can actually work a bit like a guardian angel to us, to help us to feel and to know and to release, so that love can come in, healing can come in, and peace can come in. So their question to you, they have a question for you, Cynthia, is their question is, can you share from your experience the healing benefits of when grief and loss are honored? How does that help humanity?
When grief and healing are shared and loss. Mm-hmm. I think I feel that when we're in grief, and I personally had a lot of grief as well as worked with people, that it sends us, it's a pointer sending us deep into our soul, to listen to our souls, to connect to that love and compassion that you were speaking about. And it teaches us the importance of love and compassion. It teaches us where we may need to have more of it in our lives, or where we may need to open up to more of it. And I think also there's something about opening to the gratitude of every moment we have, because there is something about how we take life so much for granted, or we can take life so much for granted until we have grief or loss. And oftentimes the grief or loss is a wake-up call to something deep inside of ourselves saying, hey, we're not just a mental body here. We're not just thinking and walking on the earth. There's a huger part of ourselves that's crying out. And I think there's also this something about this grief awakens that in us in a way that nothing else can at this point in humanity anyways.
So grief is actually, when we look at it from a different perspective, it's a tool of awakening. It's a gift of healing. We can see it as a friend instead of something to avoid. Do you agree?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. And I also think that we're in a time when there is more support, or it's freer. I mean, our society in general, we hide death in a sense. We pretend it doesn't exist. We have ads everywhere telling us, almost like selling us, that we can exist forever. Try this diet, do that. It's almost like an underlying selling to, you know, you can keep going. And I live every day knowing that my life is, I don't know when it's going to end. I think I'm going to be here till I'm a very strange old weird lady, but I don't take it for granted. Every day could be my last. So I'm going to really enjoy and be grateful for all the experiences, the moment we have. And I, for me personally, my first major loss for me was my mother. And she was right there on my shoulder talking to me. And I was, you know, talking to my grandfather in spirit was one thing, okay? But there was some Catholicism in there that said, well, we're not supposed to bother them or talk to them. But he was already there, so that he was grandfathered in. That was funny. But when she came, I was just like, and she told me before she passed that it was her time. And I was like, no, I'm too young for you to go. And she said, no, it's my time. And it would take me years later to realize that that's part of that bigger picture. It was her time, because it made no sense to the human in me, but actually her coming back to tell me before she left that it was her time was teaching me that there was a time for her. And I think that we are more involved in our staying or going than we realize. However, some things may already be agreed upon that we maybe choose not to know, or there is something about, we can't say anything is one steadfast rule. That's my experience, is that there isn't a rule. The rule is, if there's a rule, it's love and compassion. But as far as how it should look this way or be that way, I think you said something in the beginning about how everything has, we try and put everything in a box, and we try and say that something is going to look this way or be that way. So I'm always careful, even when I teach mediumship, that this is only my experience of how it comes to me. And if it, just like your experience of an angel may be different than mine, my experience of connecting with a loved one may be different than someone else, and we need to trust that. Trust being a big word.
Well, and the angels say that, you know, humans, you are immortal beings. You are God's divine children. You come to schoolroom Earth to learn, to grow, to evolve, to bring love where love has been missing. But we say to you, as our friend Cynthia has already shared, to live in love and to live fully, to embrace your experiences, will allow you to not only dance through this life and learn a great deal, but it definitely helps to create a far more peaceful exit, for it is just an exit. And if you choose, you will have a re-entry. Well, what is important is that you understand that the moment of right now truly is forever, for you are always creating, always experiencing, and that never ever dies. So fear not. Let go of being afraid of life. Death is the easy part. It's taking off a heavy, wet winter coat when it's 95 degrees outside. That's how joyful it feels. So for now, enjoy living and embracing all the opportunities presented to you to bring heaven in to your everyday life. That means abundance, good health, joy, relationship, and to be a happy child by all means, including your prayers. I would love to be a happy and well cared for child of the Creator right now. And
that's beautiful. That's beautiful. I just want, we only have a couple of minutes, and I wanted to let you share with people how to get your book, how to get in touch with you. I said I'd do that at the end. So if you could just share any information you'd like to share with them, with our listeners.
So thank you, Cynthia. My website is my name. It's Belinda, B-E-L-I-N-D-A, Womack, W-O-M-A-C, www.ascendingk.com. The book is Lessons from the 12 Archangels, Divine Intervention in Daily Life. That's available on Amazon.com or through the publisher Inner Traditions. And you can find out how to schedule a private session with me, take any of my courses right on my website. Again, BelindaWomack.com. Thanks so much, Cynthia, for that opportunity to share.
Yeah, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing your wisdom and letting the listeners know about this beautiful book, that there is something for anything that might need healing or any understanding in this book that can be applied, which is so important today that we all move towards a stronger vibration to shift and bring change in this world. So I'm really grateful to you for being here.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much. We'll see you all next week. Have a great week. Bye, Belinda.
Bye.